ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 22.
Ta ete bhagavad rupam vishvam sadasat atmakam atmano avyatirekena पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महिम्। त एते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महिम्। त एते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो अव्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महिम्।
What translation? Te ete, these nine yogindras, Bhagavat, of the Supreme Lord, Rupam, a form, Vishvam, the entire universe, Sat Asat Atmakam, consisting of both gross and subtle objects, Atmanaha, from the self, Avyatirekena, as non-different, Pashyantaha, seeing, Vyacharan, they wandered, Mahim, the earth. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. These sages wandered the earth seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the Self. Purport. This is a long purport. So, last time some part of the purport has already been read, and we are going to carry forward from that portion. although the Lord is infinitely greater than any other living being or them, all of them combined, every living being is qualitatively non-different from the Lord. Because all living beings are parts and parcels emanating from Him. Mamaiva amsho jiva loke jiva bhutah sanatanah. Therefore, in one sense, the living entity is also not different from the material cosmic manifestation, which is an inferior sister energy of the Lord. But the living entity and the material nature are prakriti or feminine, dependent expansions of the Supreme Purusha. The difference is that the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord, because the living entity is conscious and eternal like the Lord, whereas the material energy is the inferior energy of the Lord, lacking consciousness and eternal form. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized in this regard that the absolute substance is one and is called Paramatma or the Supersoul. When one has achieved but a partial vision of the Paramatma, one's understanding of life is called Atma Darshan or Self-Realization. And when even this partial understanding is lacking, one's existential condition is called Atma Darshan or ignorance of the Self. In the state of partial realization of the Supersoul, without recognition of the Paramatma's distinction, according to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus His supreme energies are always perfect and identical with Him. Both the spiritual and the material skies and their paraphernalia are emanations of the internal and external energies of the Lord. External energy is comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is living force, and therefore she is completely identical with the Lord. But the external energy, being inert, is partially identical. But both the energies are neither equal nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under His control. Exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, is always under the control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are products of His internal energies. Thus the living being is also identical with the Lord, but He is never equal or superior to the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has clearly explained here that both the cosmic manifestation and the living entities are emanations from the Supreme Lord, as confirmed both in Vedanta Sutra and in the opening statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janamadi Yasya Yathaha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. Similarly, the Isha Upanishad says, Om Purnamadaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Evava Shishyate. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, is Purna or complete in Himself. And since this cosmic world is a manifestation of His potency, it also appears to be Purna. In other words, because this material world is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, it is non-different from Him, exactly as the sun's rays are non-different from the sun globe, which is the source of their emanation. Similarly, the living beings who are expansions of the superior or conscious energy of the Supreme Lord are also non-different from Krishna. Although this non-difference is qualitative and not quantitative, the gold found in golden ornaments such as rings and bracelets is qualitatively identical with the gold in a mine. But the gold in the mine is quantitatively far superior to the tiny quantity of gold in a bracelet or ring. Similarly, although we are qualitatively one with God, being spiritual emanations of His unlimited potency, we are quantitatively infinitesimal and eternally subordinate to His supreme power. Therefore, the Lord is called Vibhu or infinitely potent, and we are Anu or infinitesimal and dependent. This is further confirmed in the Vedic literature by the statement Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman, Kathopanishad. There are innumerable eternal living entities who are eternally and totally dependent upon the supreme singular living entity, the Supreme Lord. That dependence is not an illusion created by material existence, as stated by the impersonalist philosophers, but is an eternal relationship in which the Lord is eternally superior and we are eternally inferior. The Lord is eternally independent and we are eternally dependent. The Lord is eternally absolute in Himself and we are eternally relative to His Supreme Personality. Although the Lord is infinitely greater than any other living being or than all of them combined, every living being is qualitatively non-different from the Lord, because all living beings are part and parcel emanating from Him. Mama evam shujiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Therefore, in one sense, the living entity is also not different from the material cosmic manifestation, which is an inferior sister energy of the Lord. Both the living entity and the material nature are prakriti or feminine, dependent expansions of the Supreme Purusha. The difference is that the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord, because the living entity is conscious and eternal like the Lord, whereas the material energy is the inferior energy of the Lord, lacking consciousness and eternal form.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Yananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadahamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. In this chapter, we find the Navayogendras, they meet Maharaj Nimi. And the first part, I read the second part, and there will also be third and fourth part to the purport, because it is a long purport. We will just, because the first part, there was Ram Navami, the devotees were not able to discuss anything on from that. They spoke mostly Ram Katha. I'll just touch on those points. So the sages, they wandered, the translation says, wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe. They saw the gross and the subtle objects, and they saw them as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord, and saw them as non-different than themselves. The essence, what I have understood from what we read till now, is that these are very advanced souls, and the word used over here is they are Paramahamsas. Paramahamsa, Srila Prabhupada writes, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada write here, Paramahamsaya Charitam. Charitam, a quality, a charitra, Paramahamsa. Hamsa is a very, very exalted bird, which is found only places where there is beautiful lotus flowers, ponds, and these are Paramahamsas. They are compared to such birds who relish higher topics of Krishna consciousness. And there are other birds who are like crows, who don't like such topics, but like garbage. So Paramahamsa Charitam, those who have developed, fully developed the character of Paramahamsas. So the Navayogendras are Paramahamsas, and they are traveling. And in their travel, they understand they whatever they see in this material world, subtle and gross, they identify, they see it non-different from themselves and from the Lord. Sounds like Mayavad philosophy. But the explanation is given that how such exalted Paramahamsas, they see this non-difference, understanding. They write that Sakshat avyatirekena vishvasya tat shakti mayat vadat iti bhavaha. Atmanaha indicates the super soul. This universe is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, since the entire universe is composed of His energy. This world is not different from the Lord, because the entire universe is coming from the Lord. So in one sense, it is His energy. So whatever we see actually is actually an energy of the Lord. And we are also one energy of the Lord. And the Lord, how many energies does the Lord have? He has unlimited energies, and divided into internal energy and the external energy. Mukhya roop se, the material world emanating as a part of His external energy, and the living entities expanding as the part of His internal energy. And so the purport says that therefore the living entities are superior to the external emanations, that is the material world. And what is the difference? The difference is that the living entities are chitta, they have consciousness, and the matter is inert, no consciousness. And still the Navayogendras are seeing all this to be same as the Lord and themselves. That is the quality of a Paramahamsa, who understands the material energy and the spiritual energy, there is
all coming from the Lord. Everything is coming from the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj was questioned by his father that, where is your Lord? And he says, he's everywhere. Is he there in this pillar? And he says, yes. And actually there was no form of the Lord inside the pillar. It was not that. But actually Krishna can appear for him. Matter and spirit doesn't make a difference. And the example is given, just like an electrician. No matter how powerful the electrical energy may be, we see sometimes there are huge turbines. But the electrician has the power, only when he switches it on, then does the turbine start moving. So the electrician is in control of the electrical energy. Similarly, the purport says that although these energies are coming from the Lord, but they are never superior to Him, whether the material energy or the spiritual energy. In India, there is a conception that we are also God. It's a very common conception. Because the Shankara philosophy is prominently spread everywhere in India. I was staying at a mutt. I had gone for a seminar and they had put me up in a Shankara mutt. I did not know that my staying arrangements were there. And everyone was like this. And I was like this. So I was the odd man out. There were pravachans going on, but they were all in Sanskrit. So I couldn't make head and tail of what's happening. And there were two other Brahmavadis, Tattvavadis staying with me. They were nice people, very nice. Big tapasvis. And they considered, they were of this opinion. And the tapasya was that, one was young, actually young, with lot of, they generally with grown beards. And he had stayed 14 years in a hut in a jungle, eating only once a day a handful of varai. Not even rice, varai, ekadashi. And there was another hut next to him. And sometimes in 12 days they would probably see each other. Although they were staying. So they would just do moan and... So they were of this opinion that... if you do meditation like this, then you become powerful. And you realize that you are God. That is, but that doesn't actually happen anytime. You see, many of these people, they do this and they don't realize in the end that they are God. There was one such person traveling with a devotee and they were conversing and he was saying that we are God. So with lot of arguments, he couldn't convince him. And then ultimately, after some time he said, forget it. The devotee said, no point in telling him. And this person had to answer the nature's call and he said, can you tell me where is the toilet? He said, you are God, you should know. He said, no, please tell me. So he held his hand. He said, I will not tell you till you agree that you are not God. So when the nature's call was at its peak, then this person said, okay, I agree that I am not God. Now tell me, where is the toilet? So then he told him where the toilet is. And then after he came back, relieving himself, the devotee asked him, so now do you say you are God? What is your opinion? He said, yes, I am God. Hey, this is nonsense. How can you say like this? Then what was this going to the toilet? He said, that was my leela. So, a person who basically wants to become God, in one sense, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we have this tendency to become God and rule over material energy. And it is provoked by our ahankara. One devotee asked me, in Nectar of Instruction, there is a statement, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udar Upastha Vegam. Control all the senses. Vega. For Vacho Vegam, speak about Krishna. Manasa Vegam, install Krishna's feet in your mind. Jiva Vegam, take only prasad at scheduled time. Udar Upastha Vegam, like that. So, why not just instead of doing Vacho Vegam and Manasa Vegam, Udar Upastha Vegam, why don't we just have the mind Krishna conscious? Then automatically everything becomes Krishna conscious. Is that not a good proposal? Then why we cannot do that? Why has Rupa Goswami given Vacho Vegam? Why not one sentence in the book, Manasa Vegam? And then everything is done. And I was thinking, then I went on to find out, to answer his question, and I came to the conclusion that when the living entity comes to this material world, he is pure in consciousness, absolutely pure. The Mahatattva is created, from the Mahatattva comes pure consciousness. And this living entity gets covered as soon as it comes in contact with the material nature. And covered by something called as ahankara. It gets the covering of the intelligence, it gets the covering of the mind. Now if you see, of all these three, mind is subtle. Intelligence is subtler. And the ahankar is even subtler. Subtle of the subtle of the subtle. The subtler things are, the more powerful they are. If somebody comes and slaps you, it may hurt you. But if somebody neglects you, oh, that is very painful. That would be very, very, or speak some harsh words, that's even painful. So, mind is subtle, but intelligence subtler, and false ego is even subtler. So what that means is, the mind and the intelligence are subservient to the false ego. And when the false ego, when it is false, when it is not the true ego, then the mind and intelligence become, with contaminated mind and intelligence, they serve him. The mind by sankalpa and vikalpa, using these two things, is serving the false ego. And the intelligence gives him all the ideas of how to do it. And they both protect the false identity of the living entity, that I am God. I am God. I should enjoy. Everything is for my enjoyment. Everyone should do what I want. And those who don't do what I want are my enemies. And those who say, Salam Sab, are my friends. It divides friends and enemies. And in duality, one lives one's life. And then there is so many dualities. Good, bad, friend, enemy, heat, cold, so many things. And then one becomes attached to one's particular opinions. My way or highway. Aisa hi hona chahiye. And then that causes disputes. Therefore, we have something called as conflict resolution. The main cause for any type of problem is actually the ahankar. I was discussing yesterday with Radha Gopinath Prabhu some problems with which we are taking care of with devotees. And our own problems. And analyzing the problems, I told him, Prabhuji, I realized that some things that I did is because of, the only conclusion I can come to is because of my ahankar. I don't see any other reason for that. And therefore, great acharyas always keep emphasizing, Trinadapi suni chena taroriva sahi shuna amanina manadena. Become humble, become humble, become humble. No, but the ahankar comes up. And become humble. Keep hearing. Like one couple I know. Suddenly I don't see the couple together and Mataji is... So I asked, where is Mataji? He said, I left her to her house. Why? What's the problem? And so problems. Then I spoke to the Mataji, what's the problem? So you have any problem? Are they beating you up something at home? She said, no. Are they asking for money? She said, no. Is your husband creating some problem for you? No. Why do you want to go for divorce? I don't do very well with the Sasuma. So divorce the Sasuma. Why your husband? It is just the question of ahankar. And in traditional India, there was good training given from childhood. In modern times, we have control over everything. Srila Prabhupada writes, you cannot go to sleep without the smell of machines. Whenever, actually this is a long time back, Srila Prabhupada spoke, we didn't have mobiles that time. Is that if there is no telephone, there is no car, you cannot go to sleep. You always want a machine. Because this machine gives us the attitude of control. Whatever I want is on my fingertips. The minute I want, all sense gratification is there. I don't need anybody. I have all my information. I don't even need the Bhagavatam class. Because it is there on the internet. I don't need association. I have association friends in Australia and America. But the neighboring locker, I don't have friends. And the neighbors, I don't have friends. So, isolated it makes us. So Prabhupada was telling, and then he gave the story of a fisherman. That once there was a fisherman. There was a grahastha. In traditional times, people would go out and call, anybody hungry? And then they would bring in that person, feed him. So, there was the grahastha came out and he saw nobody, but then he saw one fisherman. So he said, are you hungry? He said, yes. So he invited him and gave him food. So, this fisherman took food and he said, it's too late, can I rest? He said, yes, please take rest, but keep your basket outside. So, you know, the fisherman's basket is smelly. So he kept it outside and went to sleep. And then this person got up in the night, middle of the night to pass water, and he saw the fisherman growing at 1 or 2 o'clock at night, going topsy-turvy, and he said, are you getting good rest? He said, I'm unable to sleep. He said, why? He said, if I sleep next to my basket, I cannot sleep without that fishy smell. I'm used to that. I said, okay, bring in your basket and sleep. So Srila Prabhupada compared that to our situation. We are so much used to control and we need all these material objects that we cannot sleep. And actually such type of attachment, when it is taken away, it causes such an immense pain that we consider everyone our enemy. It starts from considering the devotees as your enemy. Then goes up to the exalted Vaishnavas, then the Guru, and then ultimately God Himself. Oh, this is a very dangerous life. So Paramahamsas, they are understanding that actually everything is coming from Krishna. So everyone is our Swajana. Why only people in our community or our society? Everyone. Srila Prabhupada went all over the world to preach, and he was able to connect to people because he considered everyone as his Swajana. Only if you consider, if one is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, that means not superficially, understanding how Krishna is actually God, Father of everyone, then he can consider everyone as his Swajana. Sometimes it becomes difficult for us to even consider devotees as our Swajana. I remember one devotee was so angry with other devotees. He was in a dham and he was always talking about high pastimes. And then in the dham there was a scorpion came, a small scorpion. And we were shouting, "Hey, be careful, there's a scorpion, kill it or throw it." And this devotee said, "No, he's a dhamvasi." So I said, "Wow, that's very nice. But then why do you consider the devotees to be worse than a scorpion? That is not Swajana consciousness. A Swajana consciousness is, I heard one lecture, a Brahmachari class by Radhanath Swami Maharaj, where he said, a real Brahmachari is one, he's talking about Brahmacharis in a Brahmachari class, he did not say a real Brahmachari is one who's very scholarly, he did not say a real Brahmachari is one who's a good singer, he did not say a real Brahmachari is one who's expert, dakshah. He said, a real Brahmachari is one who's humble. So that was like a very high order, humble. And similar for grahasthas. So a Paramahamsa is one who sees everyone as Swajana. Actually Paramahamsa, Srila Prabhupada is on the Paramahamsa level, and when he would come to preach, he would come down from his level and preach. This was in Montreal in 1968. Srila Prabhupada went in 1965 to US, and this is hardly 3 years. But he already had a good movement. And they had gone to a world fair. It was something like Man's World. It was a world fair in Montreal. And Srila Prabhupada was with devotees, and they were traveling in a... they were in the fair, and it was a huge fair. So they were going from different plots where different things were kept, where you could go and see. And they had a guide. So they had to go in a small train, and the train would take them to different places. And the guide was a lady, a young woman. And she was shocked when the people whom she had to guide were monks, and especially others were Westerners, but this Indian monk in saffron. So she did not know, she was shocked what to say. And she was all dressed up, and she had her combed very beautiful hair and a lot of makeup. So she was very, very fearful and uncomfortable of traveling and then being a guide to them and showing them around. So Srila Prabhupada, being a Paramahamsa, but at the same time understanding her situation, she was feeling uncomfortable, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, your hair is so beautiful." And the minute Srila Prabhupada said that, she was so happy. She started smiling, and then she became very comfortable and started showing them around. So this purport is basically focusing on how an advanced devotee sees non-difference between the world and all the other living entities and the Supreme Lord, because all these energies are coming from Him. So we are a part and parcel of the Lord, and as a duty, if everything is coming, the material world is coming from the Lord, If all living entities are coming from the Lord, then they are all my swajana, brothers and sisters, then what is my duty? My duty is to humbly serve all of them. And if we can understand this concept properly, then there would be peace everywhere. But with a contaminated heart, one is unable to serve. The ahankar is now contaminated. It is our consciousness. Actually, ahankar means contaminated. The chitta now is contaminated. The mind is contaminated. It is like kidnapped by Ravan. Bhakti is kidnapped by Ravan. And the living entity is suffering. And the great devotees come and tell us, don't worry, Lord Ram is coming. Like Hanumanji. Don't worry. Carry on. Chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Great Paramahamsas are also chanting and crying out. Their chitta is already connected to Krishna. There was Goswami, Babaji at born. He was born in Radhakund, Hridayananda Babaji. And for 75 years, he served as a pujari. And one devotee interviewed him because he had met Srila Prabhupada and he was staying in Radha Damodar temple also. And he said that at night I would hear somebody calling out the holy names, calling out to Rupa Goswami. So one night I just got up in the middle of the night and climbed my rooftop and I saw A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami with a broom in his hand, sweeping outside Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And while he was sweeping, he was calling out, O Rupa Goswami, O Shad Goswamis, please bless me, so that I may be able to serve. So they are also calling out. And they are telling us to call out also, to chant the holy name, so that we can purify our chitta. And this chanting should be done in an attitude of service. The material energy is coming from Krishna, and when we see it, because of a contaminated chitta, we first get the thought of enjoying it. Immediately. Anything beautiful, we want to enjoy it. Apne bhog ka sadhan banana chahte. Actually, there are so many beautiful things in this world. If everything was given to us also, we couldn't enjoy it. Because we are infinitesimal. If everything was given to us also, we couldn't enjoy it. We are so incomplete in one sense, in this material body. With this material body, we cannot even do that. But we have a strong desire. Even an 80-year-old man, we want to enjoy it. And therefore, one has to purify one's chitta by the process of Krishna consciousness. So, a practice, a conscientious practice of whenever we see material energy of the Lord, a continuous practice of how can I serve. So, earlier whenever somebody comes and gives you a service, it would be how to escape it. But now we may practice. If somebody says, at least let me start saying yes. Will you do this? Yes. Will you do this? Yes. Then maybe you can. There was one lady and she was always very hot tempered. And you know this story. Beggar would come. And she would say, get out. Get out. All the time she would shoo him away. And one day she became so angry that there was some ash in the stove, and she picked up that ash and she put it in his bag. Take, get lost. And this beggar started dancing. Whoa, great. She said, why are you dancing? He said, because today you have started giving. You give something. So like that, at least we can start by saying, yes, I will serve. I will serve. A constant reminder. I will serve. I want to serve. I must serve. And then when this practice goes on in the mind, then the attitude slowly changes. Ah, we start seeing positive. Give benefit of doubt. Mind, contaminated mind will make ideas that, you know why this person is doing this? Because he wants to politicize. So you say no. And you give the motto to the mind, this person is good. He is my well-wisher. He is a devotee of the Lord. How many people are devotees of the Lord? We have a Sunday feast. Everybody is welcome. There are lakhs and lakhs of people staying in Mumbai. But few thousand come. Although there is free food. Dal, rice, sabji, puri, sweet. Everything cooked purely by devotees. ISO standard. And people know it. But not many people come. So those who are coming are very, very great devotees. Whoever is coming, so they are nice. So creating a positive attitude. And those who speak negatively to us, we should not listen to them. We should avoid. Isn't that what is the first criteria for chanting the holy names? That is the first criteria. So when we avoid those things, then our positivity increases and then our attitude to serve increases. And when we serve and when we chant, then purification takes place. And when we are purified, we can see everything and everybody as our swajan and we can become happy. Happiness does not come. Many times we may equate happiness because of a covered intelligence to material advancement. That is not true. Hare Krishna, I will stop here because it's time up. Excuse me for speaking more than my realization. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.